And good morning to you, folks. That's wonderful for the assembly to join together in worship and in study of God's holy word. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for who thou art. We thank you for the opportunity of gathering together in thy name, gathering to hear thy word expounded. We thank you, Lord, that even when it's necessary for pastor to be absent, we have men who can stand behind this pulpit and have a message from thee, directing our study of these moments this morning that your name may be glorified. We'll give thee the praise and we'll give thee the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you can bring your minds back to this hour last week, I had us look at a little roadmap of life. We're on a path of life. It began at birth. It has a beginning and it has an ending. We know the beginning and we celebrate it. I'm certain you celebrate your birthdays on an annual basis. And we celebrate the birthdays of many friends, again, on an annual basis. We do not know when the departing date is. It may be at the rapture of the church, or we may check out sooner. But we're on that pathway of life. As Pastor has said, the pages are turning. Where are we? Where are we before God on that pathway of life? And this morning, I want to take us first. I want to pick up a little bit from where we ended last week, but just review a little bit. When we began on that pathway of life, we were in darkness. And Ephesians chapter 2 gives us a good picture of where we were. In Christ, and you hath he quickened, made alive. So at the new birth, we were made alive. And we can look back to what we were before we were made alive spiritually. So it continues. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had a conversation, our living in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and on the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Bible tells us in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not what? One, not even one. But how about right now? Right now, on us as who are believers, are we righteous? The answer is no, we're not righteous. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. In verse 21, it tells us, now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And the word justified means to be declared righteous. We can look in the next verse. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, satisfied through the finished work of Christ on the cross, be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare his righteous. and I brought out last week, we are declared righteous. Now, I remember one pastor preaching this many, many years ago and said, beloved, we're declared absolutely righteous as God sees us in Christ, because Christ himself always was righteous. And God sees us in his righteousness. Praise God for that. Just so wonderful. Last week, we looked at a passage in Romans chapter 6. In fact, we can have you turn there. Just in review, at the new birth, what a miracle took place the moment we were born again. Birth itself is such a wonderful, wonderful miracle of life itself. But at the new birth, so much took place in just that instant of time when Christ came in. And we looked at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for every believer. So the moment we received Christ, we asked Christ to come into our hearts, the Holy Spirit baptized us into Christ himself. And then we find from the scriptures, not only were we put in Christ, but Christ was put in us. And the Holy Spirit came in us, and God the Father was in Christ, so we have the whole triune Godhead in our bodies right now. And it began at the new birth. It is so wonderful. Then I brought out last week how that as in baptism, we were crucified, but not literally. Our bodies are still alive. Our bodies never died. That is to take place sometime in the future. Either at the rapture when the bodies die instantly and the new body is created in just that instant of time, or if we depart, if we check out of this body at death, at the rapture, we will come back and receive that body. But in the meantime, in heaven, have a glorified body in heaven. It's just so wonderful. But we were raised up from the dead. So the picture of baptism, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We account this as taking place. So we account my old nature. It's dead. There's nothing good in the old nature. And that always remains true throughout our whole lives. But we have that new life in Christ. And that is so wonderful. So the picture of baptism here is in that new birth, we were baptized into Christ, into his death, his burial, and into his resurrection. Then I brought out, there's a second point in this verse that we don't always follow that at the end of the verse. Even so, as we should walk in newness of life. On that pathway of life, we're walking day by day. That walk is just renewed new. God has new things for us. This morning, I want us to, as we look traveling along this pathway of life, life isn't always beautiful. There is some, God has not promised us never to have difficulties in the body that we live in. We know that as we grow older. I know it by experience. As I've grown older, and still growing older and still here. I never expected to still be here at this age, but still here. And I know the exercises of life have some difficult things. And we all have them. What I want to bring out this morning, as we face those difficulties over and over and over again, some of them get pretty tough to experience. We are kept by the power of God. Remember that. We, as believers, are kept by the power of God. So I want to look a little bit at that power that God gives us. Every believer, no exceptions, kept by the power of God. And just to realize how wonderful this is in life to be kept by Him. Let's go back in the scriptures to the book of Exodus, where as the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt, God had to demonstrate to them His power, and that they were facing a new situation in life where they were to be kept by the power of God. All they knew was living in Egypt as slaves in Egypt, and all the turmoil and stress and difficulties of being a slave in those days. And God was taking them out of Egypt and to demonstrate to them, I am going to keep you in a special way. And we know in looking back at their history, it is, wow, they had 40 years in the wilderness, fed, every day they had food, 6 days a week they would gather that food, on the sixth day, they would have a double portion. So on the seventh day, there was no food to gather, but they had extra from the sixth. And we know some didn't even in the beginning didn't believe God. And they went out on their seventh day to gather food, and there was no food there. God says, you didn't learn, but you've got to learn. Well, when they were in Egypt, coming out, God had an exercise for them. And it's Exodus, get my right reference here, chapter 9, verses 13 through 16. Here is God speaks to Moses, telling him what is about to take place in the next block of time. There are going to be 10 difficult plagues take place. But God is going to keep them in a very special way that they can recognize the power of God, and that the Egyptians themselves in ungodliness recognized the power of God. Look in the scriptures, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that may serve me, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that why? That thou mayest know that there is none other like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence. Thou shalt be cut off from the earth, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. To show Egypt His power, and at the same time to show Israel as they were stepping into a new thing, they were coming under the opportunity of seeing the power of God. Now we can bring it right to us today. That power is in us today, and we can see the power of God working in our individual lives and very special details that take place in the course of life, there's many troubles that we face. Let's go a little further. Joshua chapter 6. In verses 1 through 5. Now in Joshua, the 40 years in the wilderness had taken place, and Joshua was about to lead Israel across the Jordan River, and they were going to come to their very first experience of a battle. It was at Jericho. And God was going to give them a very special assignment to do as they faced that battle. Let's look at it here, at the assignment. Beginning chapter 6, verse 1. Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Now, they'd already found out, as they sent two spies into Jericho, just to see how the situation was in there. And the harlot told the men that went in that the people there in Jericho were just trembling on the new people who were just coming their direction. They were afraid of the people and of God himself. And so they were to stay locked in that city, that city that was totally defended by the high walls, and no enemy could touch them in there. They were safe as safe could be. But notice what God says. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, what are you to do? And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Verse 4. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, everyone straight before them. This is their assignment. Can you believe it? I mean, they're going to march around a city once each day for 6 days. The instructions came later, no talking. Marching around that city. We don't know what the distance was around it, but march around that city, no talking, just the ram's horns sounding forth. And on that 7th day, you are to march around it 7 times. That's quite a hike now for all of them. And at the end, I'm going to instruct you to shout, and the walls will come tumbling down. Impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And they did it. That 7th day, quiet all the time. And then one big shout. And the wall didn't fall out, it just came tumbling straight down. Then they could march in. They would have the city totally surrounded and just go straight forward into the city and finish things off. They believed it. What was the demonstration? The power of God. What does God want us to recognize? The power of God resident in us. Well, let's continue on. Let's turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 62. And verse 11. God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto who? What does it say there? God. Elohim, God. Power belongs to God. We need to realize that today. This power in us belongs to God. And as we're going through things in life, we have Romans 8:20, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All right, we go through an exercise. That exercise is His purpose. Why? That we can learn from Him and inwardly sense the tremendous power of God resident in us. It's there for every single believer. Still in Psalms, let's go to the very next chapter. The first two verses of the next chapter. Oh God, and you notice it's capital G-O-D, that's always Elohim in the Old Testament, plural. Thou art my God, says the psalmist. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Why? To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Well, we started from the end. The sanctuary with us is this place. Don't you find every time you come to worship God, when you leave, your heart has been blessed? Why? Because of this book. This message does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, forever, just as Jesus Christ is the same. We're living in a society where they want to change things. And what are they trying to tell us now? Our Constitution is old-fashioned. It was just presented all these years ago, and it doesn't fit society of today. It needs to be changed. But you know, when that was written, it was written by men. Many, some of them really trusted God. Some of them did not, but God was in it. The main reason they want to change our Constitution, because God is front and center in it. And we're in a society today where many of our leaders say we do not need God. Are we going to believe them? Or are we going to believe His word, which does not change? God is faithful. Then the psalmist said, oh God, Elohim, thou art my God. Remember in the 23rd Psalm, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. God is our shepherd. He is our God. And we've sought Him. We've found Him. And then my soul thirsteth for thee. Oh, I trust you thirst for more and more and more from the Word of God. And I trust with every one of you here that you don't wait just for Sundays to open this book. This book is very familiar to you during the week, and you find you just want to gain some gems from the Bible each day. God has something special from His Word for each one of us. All right, let's go a little bit further. Still in Psalms, Psalm 68. And verse 35. Right to the end. Again, O God, Elohim, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto whose people? His people. Now, the passage is directed to his nation, Israel, but it's also directed to us, his people today. Israel has been set aside, and God will not be without a people for his name, and we are his people in Christ Jesus, the bride of his son, Jesus Christ. And he grants strength and power unto his people. That's for us today. We can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right, let's go forward a little bit further to the book of Isaiah. And this time, Isaiah chapter 40. And let's jump down in the chapter to near the end, verse 29. And then we'll keep going through 31. He, it's God, giveth power to the, notice, faint. Sometimes we feel pretty weak, just washed out, seemingly just done. But wow, God has power for us. He lifts us up. We look to him who gives that power. So to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Wow. God just keeps us going, kept by the power of God. Okay, now let's go way forward. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3. According as his power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Even let's look at that next verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have escaped from what was there of the old nature. And we still have that old nature in us. I trust you don't find there's anything good there to turn back to, but look forward to what God has for us in such a wonderful, wonderful way. His promises are so wonderful. And this time it's for us. My eye wants to play basketball. I got to take care of that. Doctor told me you got to live with it. We did all we could to get rid of it, and it just is going to be there. So, okay. It plagues me at times like this, and it's running right down my cheek, and it doesn't feel good. Okay, let's turn back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And as we look at Acts, things that happened, the crucifixion of Christ had taken place, and the church is about to begin. And there's a message for the disciples, and it was more than the disciples, there were 60 of them, a message for them of what God was about to do. Like Israel coming out of Egypt, something God was about to do. And here in this chapter, on the verse we're going to look at, telling the apostles and the followers something God was about to do. Look on the verse 8 of chapter 1. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when Christ was with the people for 40 days before his ascension, and he told them soon after this immediate experience, you wait here for the coming of the Holy Spirit. That was Pentecost. We mentioned this last week. I couldn't think of the word Pentecost, you remember. 50 days after the resurrection, and that was the Feast of First Fruits. Then came 50 days later, was this very special celebration of Pentecost. But with the church, this is the birth of the church. Christ said, you tarry here in Jerusalem, and they had to tarry 10 more days after the ascension, and the Holy Spirit would come upon you. And we read of that in chapter 2. They were all gathered together at that time. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them. There was a sound. It was heard then more than just them. The whole city heard this tremendous sound from heaven. What's going on? So they got out of their houses, went to the streets, and went the direction of the sound. Oh, it's where all these people are gathered, and they saw the Holy Spirit come upon them like little flames of fire, and they began to speak, and then Peter was speaking, and the apostles were apparently translating it into their own native languages. Wow, they were speaking in tongues, and they heard this message from God. This brand new thing God was doing. We have Peter's sermon recorded there. We won't be looking at that this morning, but that was the message they heard. From that message, 5,000 made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And beloved, in those days, it was not an easy thing to turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They were told, after the person receives Christ, you need to be baptized to demonstrate publicly this relationship you have with Jesus Christ of his death, burial, and resurrection. And it would be done publicly. And for many of them who were seen being baptized, they lost their jobs. They just lost everything. Christianity was so despised because the one they crucified and thought they were rid of him had risen from the grave, and they did not like it one bit. Yet with us, the power of that resurrection is just so wonderful. Oh, by the way, the word for power of his resurrection is the same word we've been looking at. That's resident in each one of us. The power God used to raise his son from the dead is the power he uses in us to keep us. We are kept, I'm going to say it again, we're kept by the power of God. That's every one of us as believers. We are kept by the power of God. Don't let your faith waver. Look to him who is the author and finisher of your faith. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians 2. And you know, we read it, but maybe you didn't catch it because I didn't emphasize it at the time. We looked at chapter 2 and we were looking at ourselves before we were saved. We were in the darkness of this world, but we've been delivered from this darkness. But in verse 2, right in the middle of the verse, it mentions a new power. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air is Satan himself. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they not only had sin come upon them, not only did sin come upon the whole world, but they lost something very, very special. That was, they had dominion over the rest of God's creation. Animals obeyed them. They directed the animals, but they gave that dominion over to Satan. Now, Satan, he took that. He knew he was going to get it. And he got just what he wanted, that dominion. He still has that dominion today. He's prince and power of the air. And he works in the children of disobedience. That used to be you and me. He used to work in our lives, and he was trying to use us for his glory, because he wants, still wants, that glory that belongs to the Son. And he thought he had gained it when Christ was crucified, but he found out differently. Christ didn't remain dead in the grave. You know, there have been a lot of other types of leaders, been a lot of people who have claimed to be messiahs have died. They're still in the grave. But Jesus Christ, the Messiah, died, was buried, and rose again. But Satan is still prince and power of the air. And he works through the children of disobedience. And just take a look at our government as it is right now. And as you look at it, I hate listening to the news. I used to enjoy listening to the news. But I don't listen to her as much. And I'm seeing the work of the prince and power of the air in children of disobedience, doing his thing. His thing is to get rid of God in this country. It's the only country in the world that has God front and center. And his desire is to get rid of God in the United States of America. And he's using our government to do this. You've heard it on the news. I heard through the lips of the Speaker of the House that the enemy of our government is Christians. I heard it through these ears. And wow, that was said publicly? Wow. The prince and power of the air. But in Colossians 1:13, turn with me there to Colossians 1:13. We see this power of God in another aspect. Who hath delivered us, who is in context, Christ himself, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And even that next verse, the one in whom we have redemption to be declared absolutely righteousness, righteous. Why? Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And think, our sins have been cast from us as far as the east is from the west. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And Satan is the prince of power of the darkness of this world. That's him. But we've been delivered from it and placed into God himself, Christ in us, we in Christ. Yes, so wonderful. All right. Let's look at something positive again. Let's come back to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Believe. Who believe? That power, according to the working of his mighty power. Let's jump back a few verses to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then the verse we're just looking at, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That power, kept by the power of God, here it is, over and over again. Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Wow. What God has done, what God has made available, and we come to tough times, and all of a sudden the mind says to you, oh, this is horrible. What can I do to get out of this? And we start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking, we're worrying about it and worrying about it and worrying about it. And at night, it says, oh, what a mountain of worry there is there. Wake up in the morning, well, it was only a little molehill, but God says, beloved, all you had to do is believe me. I give you that power so that your mind is not going to overcome you. You can overcome it, overcome that through my son. We can be overcomers in every situation that comes upon us, delivered from it. Let's go a little bit further. Still in Ephesians, let's go to chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to, notice the adjectives here, descriptive adjectives here, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, same power, that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God has so, so much. Just to think, we're kept by the power of God. Let's go ahead, another book, Philippians chapter 3. Paul is speaking. He's speaking from jail. It's one of the prison epistles that we have here. And notice what he says there. There he is, chained in jail. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, it's tremendous. Let's jump back now just a little bit to verse 8. Well, in fact, verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then the verse we just looked at, just to know him and the power of his resurrection. So as we realize we're kept by the power of God, we have that resurrection power. Paul keeps thinking of that so often, the resurrection of power. That's resident in us. How wonderful God is. All right, let's go way ahead to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then verse 5. Here's that verse I've been repeating over and over again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. So how can we do all this? We'll close with one verse. John chapter 16. Christ, before his crucifixion, as he was talking with his disciples, gave him an answer, which is really the solution of all this. As we go along this line of life, let's look at it. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit is in us and guiding us. Now, my faith wasn't always exactly where it is now. I had to begin as a babe in Christ. And step by step by step by step, the Lord leading. I didn't get to the point where I am now in that faith as a young person, step by step by step. And it's how God handles this. The Holy Spirit who is in us reveals certain things to us. Handle that. Now, we'll go along a little further. He's going to reveal something else. Handle that. And, you know, as we handle these little details, as we go forward in life, we will be growing in the Lord, maturing in our faith. And that's what he wants to take each one of us. We start at grade one, and we keep going. High school, college, beyond high school, continually learning as the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. I've tried to pay attention to him. The Holy Spirit is your teacher in Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for who thou art, all that thou art. We're thankful that in Christ we are your children. You are interested in each and every one of us. And you direct by thy Holy Spirit certain details for us to help us along the course of life. Thank you, Lord, for this provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.